Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And tonight we're going to be talking about living the good life, so please feel free to participate or just to listen. And Kat will be with us shortly. In the meantime, I would just like to pose the question to you, what is living the good life all about for you? For me, it has to do with a carefree life that's filled with happiness. And, of course, that's the ideal. We all know that life is not always happy, that there are great mysteries to life, that there are all sorts of just different human emotions that can be generated by different life circumstances. But the bottom line is that if I take care of myself and I do that at a mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual level and remain as grounded as possible, I can go through life without much turbulence, and I can coast through the waters that may be rocky at times, metaphorically speaking, but I have the resilience to handle most every challenge that comes along when I remain centered. And Kat is with us now, so let me welcome her. Kat, how are you tonight? Okay, let's try this out. I'm not hearing you, Kat. Hang in there, folks. I'm communicating with her on Facebook. As a friend of mine would say, all the modern inconveniences, which is kind of what they feel like when the modern conveniences don't go according to plan. I'm just waiting for Kat to respond to me on Facebook. And in the meantime, let me play one of my favorite songs for you called Throw It All Away. And it's by Jennifer Farron, New Thought Singer. And I will just play some of that until I'm able to establish contact with Kat directly. Okay, Jennifer Farron, Throw It All Away.
Traumas that
And that was part of Throw It All Away by Jennifer Ferrin, New Thought singer from Atlanta, Georgia. And I do have Kat on the line. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, good. Well, I just started off a little bit about talking about the good life, and I talked about how, life may not always feel so good when you're going through it, but if you stay centered, you can kind of coast through the ups and downs of it. And so I guess I'll just ask you, what's living the good life about for you?
I think it's noticing the things that bring delight. It's noticing the things that when you're in a bad mood, you would overlook and think that they're insignificant. But in actual fact, the more that you notice them, the more good you see. So, it would be, I've got small children. When they do something funny, I really intensely focus on that and delight in it. But when I'm out in the world, even in the backyard, I'm really looking at the view. I'm really looking at the trees. Being in the moment, there's a lot of things that if I wanted to, I could get really bothered by. And sometimes if I give in to that inner voice that's grumpy, I could very easily start to pick at things. But I become someone I don't like, so I don't like to do that. So I prefer to notice all the things that I do like. And I think that when you do that, and it's in a habit, you become brighter, your aura becomes shinier, and then you start to meet other people who are also in a similar mindset or they're in a good mood, and doors open for you in life, and positive things begin to happen, and the things that you're good at, your talents and gifts and skills, get better and better. So, I think it's stuff that money can't buy. To me, that's what the good life is about.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that it's so important to stay present to the moment, and that's where the real enjoyment comes in. Because when I'm not, when I'm not being present, I'm off in my head somewhere, and I'm quite frequently worrying about something that hasn't happened yet, or I may be reliving something that troubles me. If I'm living in the past, hopefully it's a happy memory, and that's another story. But to stay present, then I'm going to experience, and I do experience, everything that happens to me in my world around me. And I seek out, the things that bring me joy. And that's not to say that I don't always find things that are joyful. And there certainly are things that need to be done in the course of the day that may seem like drudgery. But, if I can adjust my attitude about things like paying the bills or washing the dishes and just realize that, I'm grateful that I have the money to pay these bills, or, I'm glad I had the physical ability to do these dishes, and that I had the money to buy the wonderful food that I used to dirty the dishes with. I mean, if I change my mindset about things that seem like drudgery, then it doesn't affect me. And I think what I really enjoyed you talking about was your children, Kat, and how wonderful it must be to be able to see the world through the eyes of a child. because they, children have a whole different perspective than we do as adults, and it's nice to be taken back to those simpler times, and there's nothing better to do that than to be spend time with a child and see how they relate to the world, right?
And just to when they do something cute, like they dance or something, because they're not trained dancers, so they're 5 and 6. And one of them's quite heavy on their feet, and the other one's a bit uncoordinated dancing. But so it just makes it even more cute. and then I guess you're right. It lights me up because I remember being little. And the little person in me is delighted by the, and that word, the light. I am alighted by the light in them, and the funniness, the cuteness, the sheer joy that they have in that moment that they're doing that something. It's so easy to go back into your mind and think about it. That's a wonderful thing. And this day and age, people are sensitive about other people going near children. But if we can delight in each other's children, see them, watch them do something funny and laugh and love being around them, it will light up the world, because there's nothing when there's no children. There's no happiness. Humans need, they need the play, they need the light, they need the fun that kids bring, because otherwise it's only work. People forget to be children when there's no children, I think, to a certain degree. You just have to look at dystopian scenarios that are put out there in movies to see how, the actors turn it on when they don't have children in their life. So even somebody who is, the most grumpy old so-and-so who doesn't want kids on their grass would still delight in a child. Or something that is childlike, like a music box or something like that. So the good that is in the innate nature of a child, and in therefore the innate nature of humanity, is very, very important to focus on, because that's in all of us. We're all children once. We don't suddenly appear as, we're not orcs from Lord of the Rings. we weren't suddenly born out of the dirt.
Well, children are wonderful touchstones to awaken that part of us that sometimes feels like it's gone to sleep. I'm grateful that I have 3 godchildren. Because they waken me to that part within myself, which I am able to do with the help of friends too, because I have I have a number of friends, none of whom have kids, but they've got nieces and nephews and that kind of thing in their lives. But they are veritable adult children, happy adult children. And very playful, and so when I'm around them, I feel like I'm with a bunch of kids, and we have a great time. Excuse me, I'm going a little hoarse tonight. I think anything that can take us back to that place within ourselves, that happy child place, is one of the main roads to freedom as I see it. And I like to think of myself as a free spirit, and a lot of times I get bogged down by the weight of the world, and sometimes I feel like I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And then somebody or something will come along and remind me that I'm in this life to be free and joyous, and then I find my way back along the pathway to my joy. And there's so many things that we've talked about on the show that can take us in that direction. And, you know, for me, it really is things like music and nature. Lately, I've been spending a lot of time communicating with people on the phone and through Facebook. I really, really enjoy the human connection, and that is so important to me, especially now that I've been experiencing what most of the world is the social isolation that we're engaging in. And I don't really want to go into that because we've talked about that the last couple of weeks. But my point is that for me to remain in a place of solitude is okay for a while, but I am a human being and I long to be with other human beings. And if I can't be with them physically, I can be with them through the beauty of modern technology, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm kind of rambling here, Kat. What do you want to say?
Rambling fine.
Yeah.
Rambling fine. Well, you know, focusing on the good means that you deal with them, because they always do, like just what you were talking about with this current global situation. You've got to deal with the bad. It goes from stubbing your toe to some, you know, major thing like losing a loved one or a pandemic. They're there. Okay, everybody knows it. But that doesn't mean that you focus on the bad all the time. It just means you deal with the bad. You deal with it. Okay, now is this situation. And in the background always is the primary focus on the good. Always. So even in the absolute pits of the worst, the focus on the good is there. And that's what gets you out of it. One of the things I do when I'm going through something that's crap is I say, all right, there is a process here to get me out of this situation. Because when you're dealing with government, there's always a process. There's always regulations and a process. So to me, that's a human way of chunking it down into steps. And as a life coach, I'm going to want to assist somebody who's got a mountain problem and take it down, chunk it down into small goals so that they can bite, chew and swallow their way through that mountain until it's all gone. And in the way, on the way, they can, because it's enough for them, each small goal, it's enough for them to chew and swallow. They can stop and smell the roses while they're chewing. And then when they finally swallow that problem, they're ready. Maybe they need a little break, a little rest, but they're going to be ready, powered up for the next bite of the cherry. And so when we look at life, anyone who's listening now, I'm sure there is a problem that you have to deal with. I know one problem that I have to deal with that I'm psyching myself into is homeschooling my kids. Now, for other people, that might not be a problem for them, but it's not my personality. It's not my personality type to be sitting and educating children. That's somebody else's personality type, and that's why they became a teacher and I didn't. I like to teach people in different ways and I prefer to teach adults. So I love my children, but I am concerned that I'm going to start to feel frustrated, that I'm going to start to feel that the the things that are on my plate are going to stockpile up, and I'm going to end up with a mountain that I'm not going to be able to cope with. So I'm now thinking before it happens, and hoping that the government will view Australia's situation in the pandemic and allow the children back to school, because they're currently on school holidays. They've got another week of school holidays, and we're just going to wait and see. But should we have to school them at home, I'm going to have to do time management so that I don't end up pile a to-do list for my grown-up life while I'm homeschooling the children's lives. So, you know, that there is quite that's going to pose a challenge for me. And it will be, I've always said it to any of my friends who homeschool their children, that, you know, hats off to you, you're a better parent than me, and now I'm finding myself in that situation. So that's a big step for me to do. And one, I'm not ashamed to say, hey, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to have to try. So we have to remember that we're focusing on the good while we have any kind of challenge that comes into our life, and that the bad is a process to get out of. Whatever issue it is, there's a process. Even grieving has a process. You know, the psychologists have taken that down into, I think it's 6 steps of grieving, is that correct? So you know that you're going to go through a natural process there, but there is always the process, and that, knowing that, will get you out of so much trouble and back into the free swimming in the river if you were a little fish. Now I'm rambling.
No, that's you're doing great. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting and so true that for almost everything, every situation in life, there is a process involved. And I certainly wish you well with whatever challenge this homeschooling may present for you. I can't imagine what that would be like. And, you know, a lot of people are having to do it now. And so I think that it's interesting that life will sometimes just send us these wake-up challenges that we didn't realize that I've got something flashing at me that I've got to get rid of. It's distracting me. Sorry about that. Life sometimes just sends us these challenges that we never would have anticipated we'd receive. And so, you know, it involves some fancy footwork, I guess. I'm trying to think of some situations in my life where I've been caught up short. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any, but there certainly have been some doozies along the way.
And just so while you're thinking, there's a quote here from Abraham Hicks: when you focus on the good gets better.
Mm.
It amplifies. It can be as simple as every day getting into a habit of just looking at a well-done painting. You know, one that is beautiful to look at, is well-balanced, but maybe has a lot of interesting things in it. So it's a rainforest scene or a beach scene or something like that, and noticing something new about it every day and becoming more and more focused on the good that's just that painting. And then from there, you step out of that and you look around the painting at the wall, and you realize, well, it's good that I've got a wall, you know, gee, that's good. If there was a great big storm, I wouldn't have a wall anymore, maybe. There's plenty of people have had their houses knocked down by storms. So isn't it good that today there's a wall? Focusing on the good can be that simple. The paint that's on the wall, well, there's paint. For the matter, there's paint. It's not a bare gyprock wall. There's paint. Wow. That's great. Okay, the paint is not necessarily pleasing to my eye, but it's on the wall. What color would I paint it if I could? Oh, this color. Oh, that'd be good. So you begin to think about the good even there. You say, sit up, look down at your feet. There's floor. You have a floor. It's not dirt. Or if it is a dirt floor, you like the dirt because it connects you to the earth. Ah, look at that. I have a floor. That's good. I can stumble out of my bed. I'm going to quote Dolly Parton here now. I can stumble out of my bed. and into the kitchen and pour myself a cup of ambition, a cup of coffee. So how many people around the world can do that? Most people. Maybe people who are living on under a dollar a day don't have coffee. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. But they must get out of bed and have something to drink. That's good. You know, we can get out and we can go and get something to drink. We can relieve ourselves. We can put some clothing on. All these things are good. Boiling it down to the absolute basics of good takes all the fancy fluff away and makes you realize, hey, I'm surrounded by good. I'm absolutely surrounded by good. In fact, there is more good in the whole world and in the whole universe than there is bad. Doorknobs are good. Cables are good. If you touch an electrical cable incorrectly and get an electric shock, that is not so good. However, that was ignorance and stupidity that made you do that. Or maybe you didn't even know it was there. Maybe there was something that happened. Or I know sometimes if you have a shower and there's a lightning storm around, you can get an electric shock from touching the taps. And I know of somebody through the news last year got electrocuted by both lightning hitting her house while she was having a shower.
Oh, boy.
That's an accident, and that is not so good. But she was in a shower. The shower itself was good. You know, it had taps. It had water coming out. It was in a contained area so the bathroom didn't flood. She had all her shampoos and conditioners and soap. All of those things are good. You know, we could endlessly talk about what is good because there is so much that is good. Even if you were sitting in a house that was surrounded by clutter, you know, one of those hoarders houses they have, extreme hoarders they have on TV, you could sit there and go, oh, I freak out, and oh, my God, the smell, and it has like a complete stress moment. Or you could sit and look at all the beloved things this person has because they are to that person, and you could realize how much they represent the good. Even in a quandary of a situation that's like a quagmire, there is the good. Would you agree with that?
I would, and I thank you for saving me from that pregnant pause. You're a very resourceful person, and I loved it when you started boiling it down into that which is good, because there are so many things that we take for granted that we encounter, experience every single moment of every single waking moment of the day, and even the sleeping moments too. The blessings that are all around us. You know, right now I'm sitting on a comfortable chair. I'm enjoying a chat with a friend of mine who is co-hosting the show with me, which we've been doing for, about 15, 16 months now. And that's been a good thing. I have my little, one of my dogs is here, and she's all nestled down in some comforters that are on the floor because the larger dog chooses to eat dog beds. So old comforters become the dog beds. He doesn't eat those for whatever reason, but she's nestled down in the comforters, and I'm in my office where I do this show, and it's I originally called it my library because I have a lot of bookshelves in here filled with books and CDs and lots of beautiful paintings on the wall. It's a really very nice environment that I spend a lot of time in each day. So, you know, as Kat was talking about all of these things, I started to recognize that, you know, I'll sit in this room and see or be surrounded by these things that I've just talked about that bring me pleasure, and just zone out and forget that, you know, I have all of these things to be grateful for. And more important than the things are the states of my life, my health, my relationships. You know, without your health, you're nothing. And I'm so grateful to feel healthy today. And so, you know, I thank you, Kat, for reminding me that there are so many things for me to be grateful for all of us to be grateful for. And when I can start seeing life along the lines of what is good, what is around me that is good, what is in front of me that's good, then I'm going to be more likely to be in a feel-good place within myself. That's generally where I am. And it's taken a lot of getting, it's taken a lot of doing to get to this place, because I didn't used to feel consistently as good as I do now. And, you know, it's had to do with these processes that Kat has talked about. And for me, there have been a lot of different things that I've done to help myself so that I could see the good, so that I could experience the good. And I'm not going to get into all of that now. I've been down that road before. But, you know, life is good, and it can be good for all of us if we just take time to reflect on our blessings, stay present to the moment, give up worry. I mean, what will be will be. There's really little we can do other than taking care of ourselves in the present and doing the best we can to prepare for a secure future. That's really all that we can do. There's so many unknown variables. I don't know. Here I am rambling again.
Yeah, but you're right. And what I guess we're really talking about is fostering a positive mental attitude, and that's something that Napoleon Hill really talks about. He advocates a positive mental attitude quite a bit in his books. And it takes you far and wide, a positive mental attitude, because when you're in that state, do you know your soul can evolve faster? Which means in one lifetime, spiritually speaking, in one lifetime, your soul can jump through more lessons and understand more truths and evolve quicker than it could in seven by having a positive mental attitude. If you have seven lifetimes of having a negative mental attitude, you will learn truths, you will learn lessons, but they will suck and it will be hard. And it will be one difficulty after another, after another, after another, after another. And you will not evolve very quickly as a soul. On one lifetime, with a positive mental attitude, and no matter what your age is now, you can save yourself another incarnation of difficulty now by having a positive mental attitude, keeping your mind back on the good, reminding yourself of the good all around you, and staying on track to just think positively. The soul then can more rapidly evolve, and less yucky things happen to us. Things happen, yes, but you attract less of the negative. And then what happens is the things that were set up to be in your way, maybe because you had created a momentum for them back when you weren't fostering a positive mental attitude, okay, they're going to hit you because there is the law of momentum. But you'll achieve through them better. You'll have a more positive mindset. So you'll navigate through them more quickly. You'll navigate through them in a way that you have an easier passage. So, for example, somebody who's turned their life around, let's say that they robbed a service station. I don't know what gas station, is that what you guys call them over there?
Yeah.
Where you fuel up.
Right.
Right. We call them a service station here, and we call it petrol and diesel and LPG gas. So we have different names for the different types of fuel. Anyway, so say somebody robs that, gets busted, and now they're going to go to jail. They know they're going to. Usual stuff, you know? So here they are. They're about to go into their trial. They've got maybe a week to go. What are they going to do? They've got choice. You've always got choice. The choice is foster a positive mental attitude now, and everything that happens from now on will become easier. You are still going to go to jail. The momentum is remaining there. The energy must be spent. So, yeah, they're only going to put you in with that person who would rape you in the cell. They'll put you in with somebody else who'll just bore you to tears. but they're, well, that's better.
Right, right, right.
So we could go on, you know.
Right.
Life becomes easier. People around you become easier. You get out and you say, I'm turning my life around now. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you find work, and you rebuild your life, because a positive mental attitude will make that happen. A positive mental attitude will change the world for you, even in such a dire situation that you've created for yourself. So if we're a regular person who hasn't gone and done something heinous that's ended up in that momentum, say we just got out of bed on the wrong foot, maybe you're a bit hormonal, maybe you're in a lot of pain, that's when your day can go one of two ways, and you have the choice. Sometimes we have things that happen and the energies kind of come out of you in threes. Like the other day, I was going out with my partner, my eldest son, and myself. We were going to vote. It was the local government elections. I had to fix up the back seat so that take the baby seat while he's five. I still call my little one the baby. I had to move his chair out of the way. He's got a booster seat so that my 22-year-old son could sit in the back. He's 6 foot tall, so you know, can't sit in the booster seat anymore. I hit my head. I was like, oh, ow, ow. Got out of there, smashed my elbow. And I was like, oh, geez. And then I knew, okay, I'm in a momentum here. I didn't know why it was happening, but it was. And so I decided, I know there's a third one. I'm going to think positive thoughts right now and it won't be a hard one. It won't really hurt. So I really focused on just the positive of getting in the car, that there was a car and that I was going to get in that car and I was going to get in the car well. And I made sure my head was out of the way and everything when I got in the car. Well, I somehow flung my hand and the tips of my fingers hit the rear vision mirror. And they didn't hit them hard, but they hit it. And I went, that's my third. All done. Thank you. So instead of really hurting myself badly getting in the car, I chose to have a really positive mental attitude. And then the energy of me hitting myself again, I didn't hit myself very hard the third time. I could have really kasumped myself because for whatever reason, I was in that, you know, they come in threes. And sometimes, I don't know why, we hit ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves up with a car. Anyway.
Well, earlier when you were talking about, I'm not sure what it was, but you said something that made me think about how good it makes me feel to do things for other people, you know, and I think it's important for me to say, first of all, that I need to make sure that I take care of myself first so that I'm not overextending myself as I've done in my past, sometimes to my own detriment by helping other people out or doing for them when I should be taking care of my own stuff first. But it really, for me to be of service to somebody else, even if it's something as simple as baking them some cookies and taking them a tin of cookies, offering to go on a walk with a friend that's down and out, that can just turn their day around. And at the same time, it generates such a feeling of well-being within me and gratitude that I'm able to have a positive impact on changing somebody else's whole perspective for the day. I mean, the chemistry involved in that is incredible. I had a friend that was really, really down last week. And I suggested that we go for a walk. I mean, we are not really able to get together the way we used to, but we can go for a walk. And it was a nice day, and we went to the local park, and we walked with the social distancing thing, but we were able to talk. And by the time we'd finished walking around this little lake a couple of times, she was laughing, and she had been in such a dark place beforehand. So, you know, doing things like that really, really make me feel good. And they foster this sense that life is good. And so I just wanted to throw that in.
I think that's wonderful. Because we were able to help her, obviously walking, endorphins, and getting the fresh air, the oxygen directly from the trees, all of that, the negative ions off the water. There's all the chemical reasons to go for a walk, but you know, the mood upliftment, and you don't know everything about everybody, even your friend. Though you may know them well, you're not living with them inside their head, so you don't really actually know the full impact of that positive outcome. But the ripple effect is where it's really going to be seen, because maybe she had to go get some groceries afterwards and she was in a much better mood, and because of that, she smiled at somebody else who needed to be smiled at, and or she offered somebody to go in front of her in a line because they had less groceries than her, or she was more present and she avoided an accident, or, you know, there's so many reasons that the ripple effect can then go out. And perhaps she came home and she had a lovely evening with her friends and family who live with her, or say she lives with no one in communication with them. And then they, because they felt good, because she'd been feeling good, she's spreading that good feeling out and out and out and out and out. And that ripple effect of good feeling can go on for a long, long time. So, you know, good on you, David. You've not only made yourself feel good, you've made countless people feel better by helping that one person to feel better. That's the positive experience that we can give to the world through the ripple effect is, you know. What were we going to say?
No, I was just going to say thank you for bringing up that ripple effect, because it's true. It does happen.
It is.
I mean, we never know how we've touched another person and what they do with that, but the fact of the matter is that in this particular instance, she reported back to me about the rest of her day and a lot of the positive things that she'd done that day. And she is a very other-directed sort of person. And as it turns out, she was able to make some significant impacts on other people's days. So, you know, that I'm glad you mentioned that ripple effect, because it's amazing how it works. It just is amazing how many people can be touched just as a result of a single act.
Yeah. That walk turned it all around for her. And you don't know when a pivotal point in someone's life actually comes. The turning point. That could have been a turning point. Whatever you two had to say to each other could have been a turning point in her life. That's how significant an act of kindness can be some person, and to the other person who's doing the act of kindness, it to them is a small thing to do. So every act of kindness, every positive being in the good moment has an incredible weight of good. It has so much power. It is an absolutely potent, powerful thing. You don't know how this is going to change lives, but you know that it is going to make everything better, everything, in some small or large way, depending on that person. So the power of being good, doing good, and seeing good is, and speaking good is greater. It's greater than any atom bomb, any grumpy person, any evil organization, because it spreads in a way that touches hearts, and hearts are way more powerful than any ill intention.
How true. Well, is there anything else that you want to say before we move into meditation?
I wanted to just talk briefly about seeing the good in others. As we've been talking about seeing the good around us, doing good things for other people, but how do you see the good in others, especially if you're, you know, you have to turn up every day to work, or and at the moment people are working from home, but they would still be communicating with other people, or maybe you live with someone you don't like, or you're involved in an organization where this person is. How do you diffuse the momentum of not liking somebody so that you can see the good in them? And therefore, by seeing the good in them, you can actually start to see the good path away from them. Because sometimes we can get caught up in only seeing the bad in somebody, and then because we're only thinking about the bad, we don't see the way out of the toxic situation.
Mm. Boy, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You've
so
got a really
I briefly,
good point. Go ahead.
I briefly said about it last week or the week before, is to go away and imagine that person sitting in a chair. Now, there's a gestalt method which is taught in counseling, and I'm not talking about that. The gestalt method is to put the imagine the person sitting in the chair and then tell them what you want to tell them. And that's not there's more to it, but that's not what I'm talking about. But we can go home and put the person in the chair in our imagination, in an empty chair, and we can physically examine them. What do they wear? Now let's have a think. I mean, they may wear weird clothes. They may be very well dressed. But actually look at what they wear in your mind's eye. Oh, you know what? That's well tailored, that shirt. Oh, they've got good taste. That's a good thing. That's in the good box, good taste in clothes. Or they wear clothes with a lot of rips in them, but they're always showered. Okay, good hygiene, tick. Or maybe they're smell and they have holes in their clothes. So we might look at what's on their clothes. Oh, they wear band T-shirts, rock band T-shirts. Oh, all right, good, tick, they like rock bands. You've got to find something good about their outer appearance. You've got to find it. Maybe they have a lot of scars, but you can see that they've worked hard to look after their skin. Tick. That's good. You've got to find something good to look at them, because if you do see them every day, you need to find something good to look at them. Then we want to separate behavior person, because behavior is the bad thing. The actual person inside isn't necessarily bad. Now, we're not going to go into psychopaths and narcissists and people like that just now, because what we want to know is what is it about you that is good? So we take away the behavior for a moment, because the behavior may be bullying, which most likely is most of the time what people don't like about another person. But the actual person themselves may go home and make model airplanes, or be a great cook, or an amazing singer, or do something that is self-expressive that is very, very well done. That, if you don't know much about them, then by looking at them, you could imagine that they'd be good at something. That helps. Then the behavior, why are they doing it? What's their drive? Their drive is to make themselves feel good. Why don't they feel good? Let's think about that. Now, I don't know enough about you to know why you don't feel good. But now I'm going to honor that part of you that doesn't feel good. I'm going to ask the Great Spirit, because I'm only a little person and I'm not the Great Spirit. So I'm going to ask the Great Spirit, the universe, and I'm going to sneeze. I'm sorry. I'm going to ask the Great Spirit to heal that. And whenever I look at you, I am asking the Great Spirit to give you healing, and to heal the part of you that does not feel good. And that is now my new focus when I look at you. You've got nice clothes. You're good at something that you do as a hobby. And you need healing. And I'm asking the Great Spirit to give you healing and love. And I'm taking from you the action that you did that made me feel like I didn't love myself. I'm taking that away from you. That action is not, I don't agree with that action. I'm not going into an agreement with you that you can make me feel bad about myself. I'm going to feel good about myself, and I'm putting my I'm putting love into me and I'm asking the Great Spirit to heal that part of me where I agreed to feel bad because of that other person's behavior. So now I focus on the good within myself, because you cannot heal without focusing on the good. So you're not directly, you know, you might despise this person. So you're not directly looking at them going, oh, I love you now. No, no, no. You're finding something about them that you can say is good. And then you're asking for the good to influence their life and for them to be healed. And then whenever you look at them, instead of looking at them with absolute hate, you are looking at them with a focus on the good by asking the Great Spirit to heal. And then you are also saying, in a positive mental attitude, there is a way for me to distance myself from this person completely. Show me the way. And that works. I know it works because they taught me it, and they only teach things like that if they work.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that that speaks volumes for a lot of people, including myself, because there's this human tendency to judge other people. And, you know, there's also an old expression that whenever you point a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. So, you know, it's important to be careful when you cast a judgment, what it is that you're trying to hide from within yourself, and to always look for the positive attributes of another person instead of focusing on the negative. So, again, that brings us back to focusing on the positive. And I thank you for steering a lot of the discussion along those lines, Kat.
Well, it was a wonderful chat today, and I hope that a lot of people got something good out of it. That was the whole point.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we've come to the end of the hour. Shall we do a brief meditation? I can take us out.
Okay.
Invite everybody to get comfortable in your chair, or lie down if you feel like it. Close your eyes if that makes you feel more at ease. Or if not, focus at a spot in the room. And take three deep breaths, counting in to the count of six. One, two, three, four, five, six, and release and think, say out loud in your head, life is good. Two, three, four, five, six. And as you breathe in to the count of six, think, I drink in life. Two, three, four, five, six, life is good. Two, three, four, five, six, and repeat one more time. And now I want you to use your imagination and see yourself arriving at the edge of the sand on a beach. You take off your footwear and put it in a bag and start to walk across the sand, which is just the right temperature. It's warming. It's not hot. You can feel the individual grains of sand in between your toes, and it feels comfortable. It feels like it was just tickling you in all the right places. And you walk across the sand and you find a spot that gives you a good view of the ocean and that's not too close to other people. And you take out your bag and lay a blanket down on the sand. And you stretch out on that blanket. and you feel the sand against your spine. You turn on your side and you notice a family on a blanket beside you. And off in the distance, you can see some children building a sandcastle down by the water. And that gives you an idea. You suddenly decide that you want to be in the water. You want to stick your foot in the water and see what it feels like. So you get up and you walk down to the edge of the water as you hear the seagulls overhead and the sound of the surf coming in. And as you walk into the water, you feel it flow up against your ankles, and then you feel the water recede as the undertow pulls it back out. You pause for a moment, and you turn, and you look at the children that are building the sandcastle, and you smile, and they giggle and smile back at you. And then you turn, and you walk out into the ocean. Walk through one wave. As you part it with your body, you turn to the side and let it pass by you. And then you continue to walk as you feel the water start to rush out from underneath you as more water is rushing in toward you from out on the next approaching wave. And finally, having made it to the other side, you look at the next wave that's coming, and you smile, and you turn, and you lie on your stomach, and you allow that wave to just gently coast you back in towards the shore. And you feel like a little child as you giggle, and you are able to safely get yourself off the wave before you would hit the sand. And you think, this is good. This is good. Life is good. And you return to your towel, to your blanket, and you lie down, and you feel the sun beating down on you and drying the water. And you breathe deeply, and you think to yourself, life is good. Life is good. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes and take in the place in which you're sitting now or lying, and think out loud or say out loud, life is good. And with that, I leave you. And Kat, thank you for joining me again.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.